Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I'm delivered, I'm delivered, I'm delivered, I'm delivered, I'm delivered, I'm delivered. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been delivered, I'm delivered. The chains have been free, I've been set free. I've been set free. I'm delivered. I'm delivered. I'm delivered.
I'm delivered. I'm delivered. Thank you, Jesus.
How many been delivered in this place? Amen. How many been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen. And boy, you don't know what it's like to be set free. Some people were in bondage. That's what we're going to talk about today. When you were in bondage, you didn't know what was good for you. Amen. You thought you had it going on. But guess what? When Jesus stepped in and delivered you for real, for real. Amen. And you met this love of liberation that you can say, I've been delivered for real. Amen. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a whole wretch like me. Guess what? We were all lost. But now we were found blind. But now we see. Amen. Just thank God for who we is. Thank God for this choir. Amen. We can give them a hand clap of praise. Most of all, we thank God for Jesus Christ, who set us free and delivered us from a world of bondage. So we just thank God for who he is. Thank God for my wife. Amen. Just stepping up. She didn't want to. Amen. Reverend Williams is out, but guess what? She just stepped on up and did what she had to do. Thank God for her. Those of you that had, thank God for my uncle, Deacon Wright. Thank God for him. Thank God for Minister Tolbert. Our deacons, our mothers. Thank God for everybody in the building. Those of you who have your Bibles, if you could please turn your attention to John chapter 8. And all we have is what he says say. We can't say what we think. We can't say what we feel. But we have to preach. The Bible says, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So we will begin reading at John chapter 8. In the 23rd verse. Thank God for our musicians too. Amen. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who are thou? And Jesus says unto them, even the same I said unto you. The same thing he kept telling them from the beginning, who he was. Amen. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always the things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believe on him. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Most gracious and eternal Father, God, we thank you. We bless your name to know that you alone are worthy of the glory. You're worthy of the honor, oh God, and you are worthy of the praise. God, we bless your name. We magnify, we worship you just for who you are, even decided in the predetermined counsel between God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Ghost, that the Son would go and bear his life a ransom for many, to purchase us back from the slave market of sin, that we can come into the truth of the knowledge of who you are. There is no other love than this that a man would have, that he would lay down his life for a friend. It's the greatest love. Better than learning to love ourselves. Better than a love between a man and a woman, or a husband and his wife. Better than any other love. Even better than a love between a mother and her baby is this unconditional love that you have to give and surrender your life, even when we were at odds. The Bible says in due time, even when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So God, we thank you for this love. We pray that you overwhelm us and consume us by this love. Break the hearts, even the things that we've come in here, and with what we're going through, storms of life, anything that we can go, feelings that, in our feelings, oh God, thoughts, those things that want to keep us in bondage. God, we pray your deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. God, we pray that you break my heart, oh God, even to what you have to say. Crucify my very flesh. Bring back to my memory, oh God, the things that you have to say. Keep out the things that you don't want to say. God, that you will have your way in this place. Set the very atmosphere in here, oh God, that's conducive to your anointing. Jesus, we love you. Ain't nobody like you. For it's in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. 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 I just want to talk about the truth that sets you free. Amen. The truth that sets us free. Us. The truth that sets us free this morning. Amen. And we thank God for just who he is. Thank God for, we were here on Wednesday night in Bible study, and the Lord just wouldn't leave me alone. Tried to go a couple different places, but he brought me right back here. Amen. And in Bible study, the last 2 weeks we've been dealing with the renewing of the mind. The renewing of the mind. Those old dispositions, those old things that we picked up BC before Christ. Even the things that we contend with on a daily basis in the world that we have to go through, and how it's the word of God, it's the continuing in the word that washes and cleanses those things out. Man, and I'm telling y'all, we live in a world where they twisted what the truth really is. right? And people are so far gone because they rejected the truth. And they began to live and walk in a lie. And they're so far gone that minds in this world have been blinded, seriously, with the hot iron, where the conscience is seared with the hot iron. Amen. The Bible talks about, even in Timothy, and how they rejected the truth and rather walked in the lie. And that's the world that we live in. That's where the enemy, who's the prince and the power of this air, that's where he has so many people that have rejected the message of God and the truth of God for so long that even in Romans chapter 1, he's turned minds over to a reprobate mind. Amen. That people really think, seriously think, evil is good and good is evil. Amen. People think bad is good and good is bad. And they'll tell you who they are. A woman will tell you she's a man. And a man will tell you she's a woman. Amen. He's a woman. He. Boy, and it's so tricky that we just accept it. And I'm not just talking about that. But so many things, we've accepted it as the norm. And in this world that we live in, right, because, you know, and Jesus was dealing with these Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he was dealing with all these folks. And he tells you in John 24 that you are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father, he will not. Who's calling me? Amen. Let me just put that. Amen. Amen. They know I'm in church. Amen. But he says in verse 44, ye are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth. Right? Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So that means even when Jesus was tempted of Satan, and he took partial truth, even with the scriptures, and he tried to come back, right? The devil with scripture. But really, the basis of it is a lie. You can have, and what's going on in the church, what's going on in this world, you can have 95% truth. But if 5% of it is a lie, it's still a lie. Right? And we see here that Satan, listen, he is a murderer. He'll go not in the truth. Because when the Bible says there's no truth in him, there's no truth in him. He's the father of life. He's a liar. Amen. And we need to know, because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross, he is under our feet. And so people ask the question over and over again, and now you hear this on the internet, you hear this in the news, what is your truth? Because everybody has their version of the truth. Your truth might not be my truth. And my truth might not be your truth. Right? And when we say that, or people say, truth is based on what you think it is. Or truth is based on what you feel. Or truth is based on your perspective. And I'm not going to talk about popular talk show hosts that used to say that kind of stuff. And you know, and what is your conviction on this? And what is your conviction? This is my conviction. And if that's your conviction, good. You walk in that conviction. And if that's your truth, then you walk in that truth. And guess what? All of it's a lie. If it's not the word of God, if it's not what the Bible says, amen, the Bible is 100% true. It's without errors. It's out with any mixture of lies. And guess what? The Bible is the standard, is the word that which heaven and earth will be tried. It's the word of God. And that's why the Bible says, God honors his word above his name, and that heaven and earth shall pass away. But the only thing that this, and I thank God, man, we talked about some of this in Bible study, but I think we're going to go in just a little bit of direction. We talk about Christ. Christ is fuller. He is truth. Not only does Christ tell the truth, but he is truth. Christ is love, and he is truth. And the Bible says in John 14:6, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Father, full of grace, and he is full of truth. And guess what, y'all? You can't have love without the truth. Because love without the truth is still a lie. Amen. And guess what? You can live a lie as fast as you can tell one. And I thank God. I thank God. Amen. Because over and over again, Jesus lets us know that he is truth and that his word is true. And John 17:17 says, sanctify them in thy truth, for your word is true. Amen. And the Bible says here in our text, you shall know the truth. And it's the truth that sets us free. Not just the truth about who we are in Christ. Thank God. We need to know the truth about who we are in Christ. We need to know the truth about what Christ has done for us. We need to know the truth about how much he loved us. And all these things, the devil tries to put a silhouette over it, or a blockade, or a wall in between it, to try to block us from the love of Christ. They're trying to entice us with the things of this world and the stuff of this world to think that we'll one day be satisfied. But it's a lie. And over and over again, we quote Solomon, all this vanity and vexation. Amen. Of the Spirit. It's all a lie. And the Bible says, amen, there's nothing in this world but the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the what? Pride of life. Amen. And anything out, amen, and anything in that, you're living a lie. And that's why, guess what? You shall know the truth. And it's the truth that sets us free. And the more we be in this world, when he said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And then you will know the truth. And the truth that sets you free. So when we talk about knowing the truth of his love, knowing the truth of what he's done, knowing the truth of who we are in Christ, and guess what? We have to know the truth of our own hearts. The Bible says in the Old Testament that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I thank God, man, when you sing that song, I'm delivered today. My greatest times of praise, my highest times of a love affair with Jesus Christ is when I'm all by myself enclosed and the Word of God is able to show me the truth by the mirror of what I really look. And I'm telling you, we live in a church age where, man, listen, you can watch a congregation service, right? And everybody's up shouting and running around the church. Hundreds and thousands of people. And nowhere is the gospel being preached. Because guess what? We can't preach the resurrection without first coming through the cross. There's no conviction about sin. There's no conviction about your lifestyle. I'm not hearing no message about forgiving one another and loving one another. But we want a gospel where it's about all about me and what I'm going to get. What you're going to get, and now, right now, you're going to get this and get that and get that. Guess what? We don't know. We missed the mark when we preach a diluted gospel that does not talk about co-crucifixion and death first. Guess what? The Bible says God will give you exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think of, according to the power that works in me. And I'm telling y'all, listen, I can only tell you that my highest times of praise is when I'm exposed through co-crucifixion and the cross. And I've been replaced by the the kingdom of heaven and his what? Righteousness. And then all these things will be added. I'm telling you, you don't know what you're missing when you come through that cross. At the cross, at the cross. When I first saw the light and the burdens, that's where the burdens were rolled away. It was at my feet. I received my sight. And now, somebody say now. I'm happy. All the day. I'm telling you, man, my joy level will be off the roof. Man, your peace level will be off the charts. Amen. Your relationship will be like none other. There's no other relationship, even between a man and a woman or a husband or wife, that can compare to this relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing. The Bible couldn't do. Hennessy can't do. Medical marijuana dispensaries can't do. Nothing can come close to this love of Jesus Christ. People say, well, somebody said, well, I love y'all church, boy. Man, y'all got the word, y'all preach the word. I thank God, amen. But y'all don't shout enough for me. Amen. And my wife, she was saying a good thing, amen. Amen. Guess what? You missed the whole point. You missed this whole fellowship. You missed this great love affair. It's living, it's the death, the burial, then the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what we want to do, we want to negate and go around the cross. We want to skip Good Friday and go right to early Sunday morning. On the third day, he got up with all power. Amen. I thank God, amen, that's true. And we'll preach it. You may hear me say it in this message. But we first must come through the cross. Amen. And so, listen. When we talk about that, right? Listen, y'all, it's okay. Somebody say, it's okay. It's okay to be exposed. That's my first point. It's okay to be exposed. When is the word of God exposing you? And I say, I know I sound like a broken record. You don't have to call me Reverend Jack Leg, but just call me Reverend Broken Record. I go by a lot of different, Reverend Raggedy Randy. But call me Reverend Broken Record. We're going to break the record. And as Reverend Williams and Minister Tober say, because the world is playing a record. It's playing a tape. Trying to blind and bamboozle and lull to sleep the minds of our young people and the minds of our old people to think that the devil has what we need. So we're going to break the record. It's okay to be exposed by the word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:5, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy that are deceitful. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes we have to know the truth. And sometimes somebody got to tell us the truth. Amen. Somebody has to tell us the truth in love. And guess what? We done got right, but we don't want nobody telling us nothing. But I'm here to tell you, somebody ought to be able to tell you something sometime. Amen. And guess what, y'all? I'm not preaching this like I'm pointing at y'all. Y'all got to know the truth. I have to know the truth about my mess and about my own self. Guess what, y'all? And this is the road. Hallelujah. This is the road to just a deliverance in the love of Christ. This right here is the road. Amen. It starts with my exposure. Galatians 2:14 says, and when they all saw, when Paul saw that Peter moved, and not only did Peter move, but those that were with him moved, and when Paul saw, he says, when I saw that they walked not uprightly, that's Galatians 2:14. According to the what? Truth. Somebody say truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. Of the gospel, he said, I said unto Peter before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like a Jew, why compels the Gentiles to live like the Jews? Amen? So, guess what? He stepped to Paul. And you don't know what? Paul could have been like, well, man, I'm this young Christian in Christ. They've been doing this. They was with Jesus. I'm just going to mind my own business. And I learned a lot. And I said, sometimes it's not what you say to people, but it's how you say it to people. Amen. And I had a fireball that could pull you. I had a grandmother that could pull you to the side. And Mother Newman, amen, she told me about it. Amen. Somebody pulling her to the side and said, hey, baby, when she was young, real young. And Mother Ciola shared the same thing with me. Old people in old community that were able to tell you the truth. But nowadays, we don't want to see ourselves. We just want to see somebody else. And we want to jump on somebody else. You ever see somebody, although you have the truth? Right? We want to pounce the truth on them. We want to put them in a headlock of the truth. I'm going to beat this lie out of you. That's not the way to do it. Amen. But you got it. Sometimes we got to get to know somebody. Oh, sometimes. Amen. And if the, amen. That's right. That's right. That's right. And guess what? And sometimes you got to pray. You know you see it. And some there've been people that the Lord have laid on my heart, and I'm just going to lift them up in prayer. And even before I could say something to them, guess what? There was a change in their life. And sometimes it won't all come out in one conversation. But you just got to love the person. Get to know the person. Hang out with the person. Let them know that you love them. And it's the love that you show them that they'll begin to change. Amen. But imagine if Paul would never have got with Peter. And Peter would have kept on living a double standard. Think about it. He would have just co-signed with those Judaizers to make them think that they're okay. And that was a spirit that came in that place. What if Nathan had never confronted David? But guess what? God, you got to use wisdom when you're talking to people. Amen. The Bible says, by their fruit, they will know it. It's the way you do it. By your love, they will know you have their best interest in mind. Nathan stepped to David, and he confronted David. And imagine if Jesus never confronted the woman at the well. And she would have just faith and emotional salvation. And I'm telling you, as the Lord began to break my heart, he was showing me that that's where so many people are at. That, guess what, y'all? It's more dangerous to be in the church, not saved, but shouting on top of your mess, than to be drunk in a gutter somewhere. Because at least that man in the gutter knows that he is a mess. But we in the church having a form of godliness, but what? Denying the power thereof. We got to know, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous in lukewarm preaching of the gospel that there's no exposure. Amen. Let's turn to Romans chapter. Let's turn to John chapter 4. Amen. John chapter 4. Christ discourse with the woman at the well. Listen. And listen, this is what it says in 14. 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, Lord, give me that water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Hallelujah. Listen. This is where, when the Bible says in our text that and many believed on him. And the Bible says Paul preached to Apollos or to a king of Greece. And he said, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Amen. Man, when the word of God hits our heart. And I'm not just talking about people that don't believe, but even people that are in the church but are stuck in stuckness and stuck in a state where you're not growing in the word of God. Guess what? When the word convicts, conviction is a good thing. Because conviction is meant to correct and put you on the right course. Sometimes you have to break something, reset it, and put it back in place before it can grow. Amen? So here we see here, he said, I thirst, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, right, and before she could accept Christ, Jesus said unto her, go call your husbands and tell them to come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husbands. What? Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said that I have no husbands, for thou hast had five husbands. And the one whom thou hast now is not thine husband. That's right, it was somebody else's husband. And before she could receive salvation, guess what? The word of God had to get to dig up the things in her heart. And boy, we do so good of a job externalizing everything on everybody else. Somebody thinking right now, ooh, she need this. Somebody thinking right now, preacher, pastor, they need this. And I can only preach for what in my own heart that God has to get the sledgehammer and the jackhammer and crack the concrete, my hard head, to get me to see him. And sometimes you get this wrong. The Bible says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. Hallelujah! And it's the truth that sets you free. I'm telling you, there's some things that can be in your life that you didn't even know were there. But God started dealing with it and showing it to you. Like the splinter or the metal that I had in my hand, didn't know it was there. But man, something wasn't right. Something wasn't right. And when things aren't right in our life, we know it. If we're saved, when we're working out our soul salvation with fear and tremble, you know when something's not right. But what we want to do, we want to sugarcoat it. We want to get concrete and glaze it over. Like when the men took this woman, this girl, and they buried her in the walls of the house. And that's what we try to do. We try to bury things in our heart, sweep it under the rug, and just move on, thinking that it's all right. And guess what? When people come up this aisle, yes, we love them. Love them. But they've got to know the truth. And I'm telling you, we got to be careful. Because when people come up this aisle, they get saved, we don't know. And then you don't see them again for a year. The Bible says, if you continue. That's the conjunction. Heard Pastor Evan say, conjunction, conjunction, what's your function? Listen, the devil wants to smooth over the hidden sin with
always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, this wasn't me speaking.
But guess what? We can preach the gospel. And if I'm preaching the truth of the gospel, guess what? Christ can speak through me. And people will get saved. Thank God for Minister Tobin. Amen. When Jesus spoke to the gravesite of Lazarus, the word went beyond the grave. The grave was a picture of where we were held, dead in trespasses and sins. And Jesus said to him, Lazarus, come forth. Thank God he didn't say, just come forth. Oh, that whole grave would have opened him up. It'd have been like Thriller. Then it be just what? But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And listen, this is a picture of what happened to us. The Bible said, him that was bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Jesus said, loose him. Loose him from the bondage. Loose him from the gambling. Loose him from the sex perversion. Loose him from the lust. Loose him from the inferiority complex. Loose him from what the mama did. Loose him from what the daddy did. Loose him from what happened in the house. Loose him from what happened in the world. Loose him! And let him go. And then the Bible says, if you continue in my word, that's the key. Then said those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, then said Jesus to those Jews that believe. So you notice here in verse 30, right? As he spoke the Father, the words, many believed on him. Many believed. And guess what, y'all? There are three type of converts here. Right? There are those that flat out rejected Christ. There are those that confess with their mouth, but never follow Jesus Christ. And then there were those that accept in their heart and continue in his word. And that's called submission. They continued in his word. They continued in his word. They continued in his word. And so when he says, many believed on him, then Jesus said to those Jews that believe on him, if you continue, because there are two types of beliefs. Amen. Amen. There were those that as he was speaking, many believed on him, or on him, literally in the Greek, that means they were those that believed into him. They stood on Jesus. So the first belief, right, was a different belief. Right? But the second belief, the word was changed in the Greek, right? Which really meant that they had, it was like more of a surface belief. Listen, and the worst kind of people, or the person, and I'm not saying the person is worse, but it's those that when the gospel hits you and you know it's the truth, you know it's the truth, but you refuse to accept it into your heart. And you just walk away. The worst kind of situation is those where the mirror of the word, Reverend Williams, I'm telling you, thank God for last week, where the liberty and don't just be hearers of the word, but be what? Doers of the word. Don't be a forgetful hearer of the word. For a forgetful hearer means that you looked into a mirror, saw how jacked up and raggedy you were. Guess what? And you walked away like you just like the Teflon Don. Amen. That's a callous heart or a reprobate mind. When you know the truth but refuse to accept it into your heart. Amen. And so that's why he said to those that continued
conjunction. Right? And the next point that I have is true freedom is won through our submission. True freedom is won through our submission. Amen. And that's what was going on here. Christ was the perfect example of submission. In other words, Jesus is not asking us to do something that he didn't do himself. And we've said it before, one of the things that robs the scriptures of its power, to think that Christ operated in his own will. That robs the scriptures of his power. Over and over again, even in this text, verse 26, he says, I have many things to say unto you, to judge of you. But he that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. That means his Father. Verse 28 says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am he. And that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, speak I these things. He's always, constantly. And I'm telling you, y'all, listen, that's why when we get back and just praying through the Bible, it's so important. Every book of the Bible that I'm going through, God shows me more and more and more. And guess what, y'all? I don't learn it in the church. Reverend Williams said that last week. But when I'm all by myself, and I just start saying, hallelujah, look at the perfect submission between Jesus Christ and the Father. He perfectly obeyed and submitted. He was equal to God. He didn't need to submit, but he submitted. And as he submitted, we got to submit. Listen, and this, man, I love this verse right here. I love it. Verse 29 says, and he that sent me is with me. You got to know Jesus is with you. Amen. And listen, he says, the Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that what? Please, somebody say please real loud.
Please.
I'm doing the things that please him. It's about pleasing God. And some people think, well, what about my life? What about my career? What about my degree? What about my marriage? What about my house on the hill? What about all that other stuff? Come on. You have no life without Christ. When Jesus said, I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me, and my goal is to please the Father. You have not known a joy. You have not known a peace. You have not known a fellowship. Amen. But when you know that, you know that, you know that your life is to please the Father. It's about what he says. It's about what he wants. That this life is no longer mine. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, does Randy right live? Yet not I, but Christ now lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. When you live a life that's pleasing unto the Father, when you live a life that you want to just please him and do what he said, guess what? Somebody turn, you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. When you live a surrendered and a submitted life, Jesus said, I'm the true vine. And my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away and what? Purges it. And every branch that purges fruit, that brings forth fruit, he purges it. That it might by what? Bring forth what? More fruit. Amen. That's the cementing relationship. That's a cementing relationship. The Bible said God was in Christ Jesus, what? Reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses. And guess what? He's made us ambassadors. That's why we got to please God. And I heard it yesterday, loud and clear, in evangelist sermon. Somebody on your job is contemplating committing suicide. You may be the only light they see. Somebody's going through depression on the bottle, on Xanax and Prolof and all this stuff. But they got to see Jesus Christ. I got tissues in my office. And guess what? They're not for me. You need to bear the light of Jesus Christ, that somebody can see Jesus. And when you're submitting to the vine, or to the branch, or to the vine, Jesus is the vine. And the vine is submitting his SAP, his sap, through you, the Holy Ghost. Man, fruit will be coming out of your earballs. Fruit will be coming out of your eye sockets. There will be no distinction. Well, is she in the church? I see her in the club. I seen the video. They got her on the news. But they got to see the fruit of Christ. They got to see replacement of Christ. And guess what? People will be drawn to him in you. And guess what? When we're going through a terrible storm and you're submitting to the vine and he's pruning, that's the pruning process. I'm almost done. And I thank God, man, my mother whipped me one time. And I said, and she whipped me, and she said, I'm whipping you because I love you. I said, Mama, why you gotta whip me though? If you love me. At 12, I hope I wasn't 12. At 11 years or 10 years old, whatever old I was, I didn't understand it. And there's some things that we go through in life that we don't understand. But guess what? We'll understand it better by and by. And there's some storms. And some tests. And some pruning experiences that I had to go through in my own life. And when I look down the road and I see where God has delivered me and brought me through some things that I didn't know how I was going to make it. Amen. And guess what? When he's pruning you, he's never more closely to you than when you're being pruned. Because guess what? It's like cutting a bush. You don't have to push, you got to eye up, you got to get close, you got to cut. Can you stand back and look at it? Nah, a little bit more on that wall. You get on this side, you're fine. And he's pruning. You got to understand. Yeah. But guess what? If you continue in the Word, you get on your knees and say, Father, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's happening in my life. But Father, I stretch my hands to you. No other help do I know. If thou withdraw yourself from me, where can I go? When I think about the goodness of Jesus and the fact that a holy earth would leave heaven to come and save me, to come and rescue me. Says, let this mind be in Christ Jesus. Let be you that was also in Christ Jesus, who died in that robbery to be made equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of a man. He submitted to the Father. I will bless him at all times. Because I know who I am and of whom I am. And his praise. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. And his praise. seriously. And 29. For I do always those things that please the Father. This is our replacement. When we neglect submission, we reject the abundant life. We reject fulfillment. And we reject true peace. Jesus said unto the Jews that would believe, if you continue in my word, then that's the conjunction. You are my disciples. And you shall know the truth. This word continue in the Greek means mainly. Continue in. To remain in. To abide. To tarry. To wait on him. And this word also to wait on him. It comes from methano. The Greek word methano means to intensely focus one's attention. To seek after. To lay hold. A learner seeking after the truth of his master. That's what it means in the Greek. To continue in. Amen. And the last point I have, and we're going to be closing this out, is we got to, man, it's the word that renews the mind. It's the word. And then we know, man, depression is higher than it's ever been. Anxiety is higher than it's ever been. People, their medicines, mental illness, and thank God for mental awareness. Thank God for it. And mental awareness month, and more people and athletes are coming out. Because it's only when you recognize and tell the truth about it that God can begin the healing process. And guess what? I the only way you're going to be healed is through Jesus Christ. He's your healer. And so when we talk about we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, when we talk about if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And it's the truth that sets you free. The truth of who you are. What you have. And the devil, man, he wants to put walls up to block you from that truth. Even when you're praying. Sometimes I'll be praying and feel like it's a wall. Anybody been there where feel like your prayer ain't going nowhere? And I heard Dr. Charles Stanley. Lord, we're going to miss him. Amen. But thank God for the word in touch ministries. Man, we got that word on repeat. He got a 24/7 app. The messages keep coming on. But he says, man, when you feel that satanic wall in your prayer, he said, don't stop praying. He said, keep praying. Listen, and when I heard that about 2-3 years ago, man, and I would feel, see, sometimes I would feel that wall in prayer. Like, God, I'm just not my man. Feel like your prayer is bouncing off the wall. But, man, when you feel that, keep on praying. Sometimes I get up, I pick up the Bible, and I just start reading scripture in the prayer. Reading Ephesians 5. Reading Galatians 1. Reading Colossians 1. Reading the word back to him, and then something begins to spark. All you need is a spark. All you need is a jump sometimes to get a spark. And I'm telling you, the wall of Babylon will begin to come down. Usually it's through exposure where God has exposed me to something in my heart. Now I've repented it and confessed it. And it's like the floodgates of joy. Man, I'm telling you, I start praying, running through the house, running through my living room, running through my office, because can't nobody do you like Jesus. Don't give up. Don't give in. Pray and keep on praying. Amen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're what? Mighty through God. tomorrow. It is the word we need. We won't know how to pray without the word of God. Amen. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but somebody fills that wall in their prayer. Somebody fills that wall in your life. And the devil says, aha. But Paul said, the weapons of my warfare, they're not carnal. Man, once you've surrendered and God has exposed you and you've given that thing to them, it could be picking up the phone. Calling somebody. They don't even know what you're calling them for. And I'm not saying all things lead to there's an off between you and somebody else, but a lot of times there is. We got to love one another. Amen. How can we sit in the church all our lives and people in our family we don't speak to? We got to love. And sometimes it's an awe that we have. Listen, when we talk about born in sin, shaped in iniquity, putting off concerning the things, Ephesians 4:22 says that we put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We've got to put off the past. Put off the old man. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Attitudes and thoughts that you put on the new man, which is created after God in righteousness and true holiness. If you continue in my word, to wash out the old grit system, the things that were pre-programmed in you, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. The Bible says, be not what? Conformed to this world. But be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of the mind. And how is the mind renewed? By the word of God. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. The things that happen, feelings and thoughts, and you don't know how they got there. And his truth, I'm telling you, knowing who you are, what you have, and the love will set you free. Let's give God a hand clap of praise in here, amen. As we stand to our feet. If there's somebody in here and you don't know this love of Jesus Christ and you want to get to know him, what a beautiful example of Christ submitting to the Father. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's his surrender that preceded his obedience. And it's in the closet where we surrender these things. And I say it all the time. I don't know what you're going through. It could be grief. It could be hurt, pain, something from whatever. It could be guilt. You've sinned. 1 John 1:8 says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our faults before him, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us and cleanse us. And we hear Minister Tober say, man, he's seated. He's making intercession with nail-scarred hands at the right hand. Devil, you can't keep guilt over me. I'm laying it aside. I surrender to you, Jesus. Give it up. Whatever it is, give it to him. And as Christ surrendered in that garden, the Bible says he went a stone's throw away face and say, Father, if it be possible, let not my will, but your will be done. The weight of the sin of the world was on him in that garden and on the cross. He surrendered and he submitted. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? If there's somebody here, hell is real, and you don't know this love of Jesus Christ, you can come right now and give your life to Jesus Christ. Is there one? As the choir sing, is there one? Amen. Amen. Is there one that would like to rededicate their life? Maybe you're living in a backslidden condition and you would like to rededicate your life. You can also come. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one that would like to come for prayer as we close out around the altar? Is there one?
Just for me. Oh.